Thank you, Laurie. Can I invite you to turn with me to Luke and chapter 10? Luke and chapter 10. And we're going to read this short and what I'm sure is a very familiar passage to all of us. Luke and chapter 10, we'll start reading at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Well, let's just spend a moment or two in prayer. I feel that I need the Lord's help, and no doubt you need the Lord's help as well in listening to me, so let's pray. Lord, we thank you once again this day that your word has been given to us in order that we might learn from it. Lord, you are so wise. And we can read the wisdom of your words and seek to apply them to our lives. We know that as we do so, that will be an incredibly wise thing for us to do. Lord, our government is making decisions that are clearly unwise and will do us much harm if taken on board. Lord, sometimes we get ourselves into trouble because we do not take note of your word. We do not listen to it. We do not take note of it. We do not apply it to our everyday living. Lord, we want to listen to what you have to say to us tonight. And we pray that you would grant us grace to act upon it, to live in the light of it, to apply it to our everyday living. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, I'm going to make tonight the last of our little series on Christian disciplines. Now, it may be that I'm stretching things just a little bit, but I want us to think about the discipline of establishing healthy priorities and maintaining those priorities. Sometimes, as Christians, we just need to sit back a little bit, don't we? In the busyness of life, and give thought to what really matters most. And then living in the light of what matters most. And in order to give thought to this, I want us to look at this little passage that I've just read and is so familiar to us all. Let me very quickly set the scene. What do we have here in this passage? Well, we've got Jesus and his disciples who have gone to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Jesus has taken his disciples there. They're going to have dinner there. Martha is the one who has very kindly opened her home to these men. And of course, as time goes on, we find Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to all his wise and persuasive words, whilst Martha busies herself in the kitchen, preparing the food, doing everything that is necessary when guests arrive at the house. Now, Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus were, of course, good friends of Jesus. Jesus loved them, and they loved him. And I think this is very evident when we read the account where Jesus finds himself at the graveside of Lazarus in John chapter 11 and verse 36. We read that the Jews said, "See how he," that is Jesus, "loved him." Mary and Martha and Lazarus loved Jesus, and Jesus loved them. They were all very well acquainted. I think that we can safely assume from this passage that we have just read that there was a certain amount of familiarity with Jesus on the part of the two sisters. Why do I say this? Well, for two reasons. Firstly, we find Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. You say, well, what's so surprising about that? Well, a woman would not normally have sat at the feet of a rabbi. It just wasn't done. But clearly, Jesus was okay with this, and Mary was seemingly at ease with it as well. But secondly, and perhaps more importantly, just glance at the way, or look at the way, perhaps I should say, the way Martha spoke to Jesus. I don't want to justify what Martha said. I don't want to justify the way in which she said it. But there does seem to have been enough familiarity with Jesus for her to speak using the words that she does. What are we being taught here in this little passage? Well, firstly, I think we need to take note of the context. We always need to do that, don't we, whenever we're looking at a passage of Scripture. We need to take into consideration the wider context. You see, chapter 10 of Luke's Gospel is all about doing. If you look at the first part of chapter 10, you will see that it tells the story of how Jesus sent out his disciples, how he sent out the 72 in order to fulfill a mission. And they came back, having been successful in many ways. And I want you to know verse 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." In other words, the disciples returned telling Jesus what they had done. And no doubt they expected Jesus to praise them or to congratulate them for what they had done. This chapter is all about doing. Look at verse 25. We read that on one occasion an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He was testing Jesus, but perhaps there was a willingness on his part, I don't know, to do whatever Jesus asked him to do. Maybe he was willing to climb the highest mountain or to swim the widest sea. But he wanted to know what he had to do in order to win God's favor or to win God's approval, to inherit eternal life. And here in these verses that we're looking at tonight, we find Martha doing in order to please Jesus. That was surely what she was endeavouring to do. She wasn't a horrible woman. Of course she wasn't a horrible woman. She loved Jesus and she wanted to provide Jesus with a lovely meal, perhaps the best meal he had ever had on earth. This chapter is all about doing and what Jesus says in response to those who do, in order to please him. Now, I think this is an interesting passage. We might have expected Jesus to have commended Martha for all her service within the kitchen. We might have anticipated the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Perhaps Martha herself was waiting for and expecting to hear such words, but of course they were not spoken. Now, it's not that Jesus criticized her for serving him or for doing per se, but there were clearly things that Jesus wanted to say to Martha that involved some correction to the way that she thought and behaved. So what did Jesus have to say to Martha? What does Jesus have to say to us this evening? Well, firstly, Jesus pointed out to Martha that her priorities were wrong. Her priorities were wrong. Now, before we go any further, let us endeavour to ask a couple of questions. Does Jesus say in this passage that it is wrong to be hospitable or to show hospitality? Well, clearly it doesn't. In fact, one of the requirements in the New Testament for somebody becoming an elder is that they are those who show hospitality. As I was preparing, my mind went to the story of Lydia. We know how that Paul went down to the riverside in order to find a place for prayer. There he met a number of women. One of the ladies that was there was Lydia. He proclaimed the gospel to her. He made Jesus known to her. And of course the Lord opened her heart in order to receive the message. She put her faith in Jesus Christ. What was the result of that? Well, we know that one, she was baptized, but also she opened her home to Paul and his missionary companions. She showed hospitality. This is what a Christian does, surely, when they are full of God. They show hospitality. They are hospitable. So Jesus is not saying that it's wrong to show hospitality. Does Jesus say that it's wrong to work hard in serving him? Well, of course not. You know, Jesus spent his days serving his heavenly Father, doing his work. He was always about his Father's business. A Christian service, Christian work is commended, it's encouraged throughout the New Testament. So when we look at these verses, we mustn't jump to the conclusion that active service is being condemned and that we should all run to the nearest monastery and live a monastic life whereby we all spend our time reading God's word and praying to him. It wasn't her labours in the kitchen that Jesus sought to correct or criticised. It was her priorities. Her priorities. You see, she was distracted from what should have taken priority by less important matters. Verse 40 tells us that she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Jesus points out to her in verse 41 that she was worried and upset about many things. We might call the many things stuff. S-T-U-double-F. She was worried about stuff, all kinds of stuff, food, drink, getting things ready. And all, of course, with a view to serving Jesus, doing things for Jesus. But worse than that, she thought her sister ought to be distracted by these less important matters too. She thought that Mary ought to be in the kitchen helping her. After all, there was a lot to do, and it wasn't just anybody that was in their home. Jesus was in their home, along with his disciples. She couldn't just serve him any old meal, could she? She wanted to do her best. She wanted to provide Jesus with the best that she possibly could. And one gets the impression that as Martha got more and more stressed and worn out by all the responsibility that she had taken on in the kitchen, that she became more and more infuriated by the fact that her sister was just sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him talking. Look at what she said when she came into the room. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Of course, it wasn't inappropriate, was it, for Mary to be entertaining Jesus, to be sitting with Jesus and presumably the rest of the disciples? You know, when you have someone round to your home, you tend to work it so that one goes into the kitchen and one entertains the guest or the guests. And if you can't work it that way because you're on your own, well, you tend to invite the guest into the kitchen so that you can talk to them whilst you're preparing the food. I don't know what you think, but I get the impression that Martha was near to temporarily falling out with her sister over this matter. She was distracted from what should have taken priority by less important matters. Worse still, she thought her sister ought to be distracted by these less important matters too. But worst of all, she criticized Jesus for not making sure that she was supported in these less important matters. She thought that Jesus ought to have told her sister Mary to get into the kitchen and to help with all the preparations that needed to be made. Actually, one gets the impression that Martha thought that Jesus should already have told her sister Mary to help her in the kitchen. Martha was quite critical of Jesus, wasn't she? "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Again, let me say that it's not wrong to show hospitality. It's not wrong to serve Jesus. The New Testament positively encourages these things. It was Martha's priorities that Jesus lovingly criticized. I think we could spend time taking note of the fact that Martha's attitude was all wrong as well as she sought to serve Jesus. But we won't go there this evening. Perhaps that's for another time. So the first thing that I want us to note are that her priorities were wrong. But secondly, that her priorities needed to change. Look what Jesus says in verse 42, at the beginning of verse 42. "But only one thing is needed." Obviously, in preparation for this evening, I spent a little bit of time reading the commentaries to see what they said. And I'd never heard this before, but apparently there are those who have argued that Jesus was just, or that Jesus was referring to just one plate. In other words, that Jesus was saying to Martha, don't worry about preparing lots of food. Don't worry about producing lots of plates with lots of food on them. Just worry about something small. Or just devote your time to something small. One plate is enough. One thing, in other words, is needed. I've never heard that before, but I want to dismiss it fairly quickly. I don't know whether you'd ever understood the words of Jesus in that particular way, but I don't think that that is what Jesus was talking about. I think the words that follow help us to understand what Jesus was saying. When Jesus says, "But only one thing is needed," he's referring to that which Mary has chosen. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So what was it then that Mary had chosen that was better and would not be taken away from her? What was this one thing that was needed? Well, of course, the answer is found in verse 39. Mary had chosen to sit at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. You see, Jesus wanted Martha's company more than he wanted her service. Jesus wanted Martha's company more than he wanted her service. I've got a sneaky suspicion that this is the sort of thing that wives often say to their husbands. You know, husbands may go out to work, and they may work long hours, and their argument may well be, "Well, I'm endeavouring to earn money in order to provide you with a nice home, with a nice car and a nice holiday," and so on and so forth. And perhaps sometimes husbands are hard at work at home, maybe cleaning the car or out in the garden or decorating a new room within the house. But often wives will say, "I don't want you to spend your time serving me. I just want you to spend time with me. Well, Jesus wanted Martha's company more than he wanted her service. Jesus wanted her to listen to him more than he wanted her service. John 10 includes the words of Jesus, "My sheep listen to my voice." You know, that's what sheep do. They listen to the voice of Jesus. This is what marks a Christian, or at least what ought to mark a Christian. Jesus wanted to talk to Martha and for Martha to simply listen to him and learn from him. But she was too busy in the kitchen serving Jesus in order that she might listen to Jesus. It wasn't that Martha serving Jesus was wrong. The problem was that she had given it a higher priority than fellowshipping with Jesus and listening to Jesus. And I think that what one would want to say this evening is this: by all means, serve Jesus. Be encouraged to serve Jesus. Serve Jesus with enthusiasm. Do so all the days of your life. But let that service flow out of fellowship with Jesus. Let it flow out of time spent with Jesus. Let it flow out of time spent listening to the words of Jesus. Jesus wanted Martha to know that what Mary had chosen was better. Far, far better. You see, Mary had chosen something that would not be taken away from her. The preparations in the kitchen would be done, and the food would be served, and no doubt it would be enjoyed, but the meal would soon be over, the food would soon be gone, and if there was any left over, it was not going to last very long. But the words that Mary had listened to and taken into her heart would remain with her. They would be her life, they would be her joy, they would be her food. You know, as I was preparing, my mind went to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. They're very familiar to you, I know. "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We haven't got time to dwell on these verses tonight, but even as we look at these verses, we see Jesus impressing priorities, don't we, upon us. Don't spend all your time worrying about stuff. Don't spend all your time worrying about food or clothes or whatever else it might be. Spend your time seeking those things that matter most. Martha needed to seek the things that mattered most. She needed to seek time with Jesus. She needed to seek time listening to the words of Jesus. I think this is a passage of scripture that needs to be read often and applied to the lives of evangelical Christians who genuinely love the Lord and want to spend their time serving him. I think this is a passage of scripture that regularly needs to be read and applied at pastors' conferences or church leaders' conferences or at other times when church leaders get together. Jesus is far more concerned about us spending time with him and listening to him by reading and studying his word both in private and corporately than he is us doing things for him. I wonder sometimes whether we are in danger of giving the impression that our serving Jesus matters more to us than knowing Jesus and enjoying Jesus and listening to Jesus and wanting to be like Jesus. Sometimes wonder whether we are in danger of equating our spiritual growth, and worse still, the spiritual growth of others, by how much we or they do for Jesus. Surely we want to equate our spiritual growth not in terms of how much we do, but in terms of how much we are being conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Just one closing thought this evening. Do you notice the way in which Jesus spoke to Martha? Martha was quite rude to Jesus, wasn't she? She questioned the care of Jesus. She interrupted, presumably, the all-important conversation that was going on. But Jesus was so patient with Martha, so gracious, so tender. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Well, I'm not Jesus, and I know that I can't be as loving and tender and as gracious as him. But perhaps I can endeavour to be as like Jesus as I possibly can. What about us? Have we got our priorities right? Do we need to take steps to discipline ourselves in order to get our priorities right? What is Jesus saying to us tonight? He's saying to us simply this. One thing is needed. I do think that this is a really important lesson for evangelical Christians across our nation at this time. I talk to lots of pastors. I talk to lots of friends in different churches. And they all tell me that Christians are running around doing lots of things for Jesus. Their church program is packed. There's no lack of effort, but there is concern about how much time God's people are actually spending sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he has to say, spending time with him, communing or fellowshipping with him. We want to encourage service for Jesus, of course we do. But spending time sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what he says, must be a priority. He wants our company. He wants an opportunity to speak into our lives. He wants for us to listen to him. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Let's pray together. Lord, perhaps if there's one thing that we feel that we are good at, it's serving you. We seem to spend a lot of our time endeavouring to do that, and we know that it's not wrong to do that. We're called to serve you, and to do so faithfully. Now, Lord, we've looked at a passage tonight that challenges us to think about our priorities before you. And we know that what you desire most is that we might spend time with you, that we might fellowship with you, that we might be those who sit, as it were, at your feet, just as Mary did all those years ago, listening to you, drinking in your words, words that speak life to us, words that can fill us with joy and peace. Lord, we can pursue all kinds of things in this life, but they are here today and gone tomorrow. We know that. May our burden, may our concern be to spend time with you. Lord, tonight we've thought about the importance of sitting back and thinking about what our priorities are. Sometimes, Lord, we can do that, But it's not enough to simply do that. We must act upon your word. We must be doers of your word. We must discipline ourselves in order to establish right priorities. And we pray that in the coming week we may indeed do that. Lord, perhaps we've slipped in terms of our quiet times. Oh Lord, may this be a week where we spend quality time with you. Lord, the world seems to rush by. Sometimes the days go by and we don't know where they have gone. But Lord, impress upon us the need this week to spend time with you, to choose that which is better. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.